Shalom and welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 125. Shir HaMa'alot. Habotchim ba'Adonai kehar tzion lo yimalet le'olam yeshev. Song of Ma'alot. Those who trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion, which cannot be removed, but abides forever. Yushalayim harim savivla v'Adonai savivla mo me'ata v'Adolam. The mountains are around Jerusalem, but the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. I'm changing the translation because it's a complicated verse. Ki lo yanuach shevet harasha al garal tzedekim leman lo yishlechu tzedekim bevlata yedehem. For the scepter of the wicked shall not rest upon the share allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hand to do wrong, which means that they will go out and learn from the wicked. Do good, God, to those who are good and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for those who turn aside into their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them away with the evildoers. Shalom, O Israel. The peace will be upon Israel. Hirsch begins his commentary on the psalm, noting that the first verse, indeed the tenor of the psalm, emanates from the positive way the previous psalm concluded. One who is struggling and yet finds a way to frame his hardships with trust in God at the beginning and end of the psalm leads to a second psalm which begins with Habotchim Ba'Hashem, those who trust in God. The psalmist begins with the declaration, those who have faith in God, like the mountain of Zion, will never falter, will eternally reside. The mountains are ever present, stalwart, something upon which we can rely. They were always here and they shall remain unmoved eternally. Just like nobody is moving the mountain, so too Israel, despite its hardships, exiles, persecution, divisions, they will never falter. Miri describes the poet of this psalm as one living outside of Israel and is subject to the winds of a foreign power. They should not be disheartened. The redemption will come and they will return to Mount Zion. He provides a second possibility, that they themselves are like Mount Zion, never faltering. Malbim once again sees the psalm as a comment on the intellectual and spiritual battle taking place in one's mind and heart concerning faith in God. Placing faith in God is symbolized by the power of a mountain and the sanctuary provides. There might be a third option, which is that the psalmist is sitting in Jerusalem and writing this psalm, as we will discuss at the end of this analysis. Verse 2 presents us with an equation of sorts. The mountains surround Jerusalem. God surrounds his nation. Yushalayim harim saviv la, v'Hashem saviv la'lmo. The implication in the first reading is that the relationship is comparative. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so too God surrounds his nation. This is the position of Rashi. Ibn Ezra and Radak, however, see the relationship as disruptive, unequal. The mountains which surround Jerusalem make it more threatened, not less. Radak explicitly states that the enemies can control the mountaintops. Jerusalem is naturally unprotected due to the mountains which rise above her. However, and here's that vav, God will surround Jerusalem and protect her from the enemies which are on the mountains. In this regard, the vav, in the second hemistich on the verse Vahashem, is not conjunctive. It's not and, but oppositional. It's a vav hanigud. It rejects the previous statement. It says, but. So on the one hand, in verse 1, the metaphor heralds the mountain as a place of trust and compares those who have faith in the to that mountain. In verse 2, it rejects the mountain as a panacea of protection because sometimes, like in the case of Jerusalem, the mountains which surround her threaten her. Therefore, God surrounds his nation, comes to protect them against the very mountains which symbolize trust in God. Verse 3 begins with the word key. What is the purpose of in the psalm? What is the purpose of key in the psalm? Radak explains the verse as follows. For God will not allow those enemies, the Rishaim, to menace Israel forever. Because if they do, eventually the righteous will learn their evil ways and sin. Radak gains from the interpretation of verse 2, where the Rishayim are perched on the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. Comes verse 3 to comfort those fretting, saying, God will not allow those to hover on the mountaintops forever. He will cut them down. Verses four and five, according to our interpretation, fit in nicely with the clash of righteous and evil, which has run through the psalm. After assuredly stating that God will not let evil remain on the mountain, he turns to God with a request. Hey, Tiva Hashem Latovim, be good, God, to the good ones. And then he requests from God that those Israelites that are crooked, the Matim, and are influenced by the evil ones, they should be driven away with the Rishaim so that there will be peace for the rest of Israel who remain in Jerusalem. The psalm is difficult and can be read in different ways. I choose to see this psalm sung by an adherent who is standing near Mount Zion, but looking at Mount of Olives where the enemy resides. Now, this psalm was written thousands of years ago, but could have been written any time before 1967 when someone standing on Mount Zion, the closest place you could get to the Temple Mount, would be quite wary of the Jordanian snipers who were governing the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. The psalm begins with a confirmation of those who have faith in God, like the mountain behind us, upon which we have refuge and protection. Yet we look out at the mountains surrounding us, where the enemy resides, higher up with the better vantage point, and acknowledge that while the mountains encircle Jerusalem and threaten them, God surrounds his nation and he will protect. He knows that the enemy will not stay there for long, as it is having a negative influence on some of the Israelites who are getting too close and learning from their ways. So the psalmist turns to God and asks that God engages in the tov, for the tovim, and for the yesharim, while the compromised ones be driven out with the enemies. Ultimately, there will be shalom al Yisrael, peace upon Israel. Archaeologists found an ancient synagogue in Jericho, which has a mosaic adapting these three concluding words, shalom al Yisrael, peace be unto Israel.